Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. We ask, Father, that you would teach us the things you would have us to know. And we give you all the glory and the praise and the honor that's due your holy name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This teaching is in reference to Pat's teaching in chapter 39, titled The Art of the Blessing. And as I sought the Lord led me to Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And I titled this message, Faithfully Committed to God. It is believed that Titus got saved through Paul's personal ministry, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. And Paul was there with him on Crete and had left him there to correct some of the things that were going on in the churches. Now, when you're pastoring a fellowship and you run into problems, it would be easy to hear God calling you to go somewhere else. But what's neat about Titus, he stuck it out and he finished his work. Keep in mind, what Paul wrote came to him under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit. It was divinely revealed to him from the Lord. So in the first four verses of Titus 1, Paul gives us five commitments that were foundational in the way he lived and served the Lord. The first commitment, Paul was committed to God's authority. In verse 1 we read, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Paul saw himself as a man totally under the authority of God. I love that. He calls himself a bondservant of God. Now we know his Hebrew name was Saul, but after Saul got saved, he came to be known by his Greek name, Paul. Paul could have been a scholar. He was a highly educated Jewish leader who also had learned Greek literature and philosophy. He could have made a big deal of his Roman citizenship, which did give him an advantage. He could have boasted of his calling as an apostle to the Gentiles, which gave him all the privileges and authorities of the 12 apostles. I think of all the incredible revelations Paul had received since his conversion. Being caught up to the third heaven into paradise, the miracles God worked through him, and God chose him as the author of at least 14 books in the New Testament. Even with all this, what I love about the guy, he chose to identify himself as a bondservant of God. The Greek word translated for bondservant refers to a person who serves. In the culture of Paul's day, it was many times translated slave. It means Paul was a slave of God. He willfully placed himself into a bondage to God. I mean, the guy had no life he could call his own, because his life was all about doing God's will and pleasing God, and nothing else mattered. His every thought, his every effort was under the authority of Almighty God. Paul was saying God specifically called him to fulfill his calling by being an apostle of Jesus Christ. Even as he came to the end of his life, Paul was still driven by the desire to be an obedient bondservant. His apostleship made him a greater servant. It demanded from him greater faithfulness. It demanded from him a greater submission. And many times, it demanded a greater sacrifice. In spite of it all, Paul looked at his bondage to God as his continual suffering. He looked at it as a blessing. Hence, the art of the blessing. Philippians 2 verse 17, Acts 20 verse 24. You see, if we really understand that we are under divine authority, it'll become the controlling reality of our lives. Secondly, Paul was committed to the work that God called him to. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. I have found if a person is devoted to the authority of God, they're not going to waver in their commitment to the work God has called them to do. Thirdly, Paul was committed to the message God had given, verse 3, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So if we understand the authority of God and the work God has given us to do, we'll then understand it only comes through God's word. I mean, it's through his word we know what he requires by faith for salvation. It's through his word we have the knowledge of the truth leading to godliness. And it's only through his word that we have the hope of eternal life. What's so amazing to me is that the Father showed his love to his Son by promising him, by promising Jesus, that man would be redeemed and would serve and glorify God forever. Even before mankind was created, Jesus and the Father already knew what was going to happen, and Jesus agreed to die as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, so those who would believe could be redeemed and be brought to glory. Amazing. Before God provided the promise of forgiveness in heaven to a sinful mankind, he had given the promise to his Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 24. Fourth, Paul was committed to proclaiming God's word. I mean, his whole life was committed to how God wanted him to fulfill the ministry to which he was called in proclaiming God's word. Preaching is always used of the public proclamation of God's word, and it does three things. Number one, it brings men to saving faith. Number two, it builds them up in God's truth. And number three, it strengthens them for godly living. That's why expository and systematical preaching and teaching is so important. It thoroughly explains the meaning of Scripture. My responsibility as a senior pastor, as a teacher, is not to make messages from my own wisdom or to somehow manipulate those listening by what I could say. It's to clearly interpret, explain, expound, and bring application to God's word to them. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21, 1 Corinthians 2 verses 4 and 5, 1 Corinthians 9 verses 16 and 17. Fifth, Paul was committed to God's people. Verse 4, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Paul knew the responsibility was on him for not only their spiritual growth, but also for training them for their service in the Lord. You know, throughout history, the most powerful and the most effective leaders in the church have been those who were involved in co-laboring with others in their work. Those who went out and did the ministry of Jesus Christ. He recognized the importance of delegating the responsibility to those who could handle the work. He realized the responsibility of preparing others to carry on the ministry and the work. In Romans 16, Paul sends greetings to 27 men and women by name and commends others who aren't named. God was faithful in giving Paul men and women who worked by his side in the ministry, and they also supported him in prayer. I love that. A.W. Tozer said, every soul belongs to God and exists by his pleasure. God being who and what he is, and we being who and what we are. The only thinkable relation between us is one of full lordship on his part and complete submission on ours. We owe him every honor that is in our power to give him. Faithfully committed to God, the art of the blessing. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us in and through it. And we ask, Father, that you would bless it, that we would take a personal application to what we just read and studied, and God, that we would examine our own lives to make sure that we are faithfully committed to you. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.